section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hey folks, welcome to episode 181 of the Burns and IP. This is a special interview episode, and Locks of Love Jason is helping me out.
This is a first. Everyone should be honored that I'm here.
Yeah, I am honored. This is where the real meat and potatoes gets done, not that foo-foo stuff that you do.
Thank you very much.
I'm honored that you're here.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
And as you just heard, Josh Crane from craftvapory.com is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Blake. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. As most people know, we've been doing some e-juice reviews lately, and we hooked up with you guys, and we've been doing kind of a sponsorship thing for a little bit. And so I thought it'd be a good idea to have you come on, kind of talk about yourself, a little bit of vaping history for you, and then go into more about the company. Is that okay?
All is great except for that talk about myself part.
They'll be super easy questions.
What's your middle name, Josh? Let's get down to brass tacks.
That's a great question because I don't have a middle name.
Oh.
I have a middle initial.
Really?
And it's kind of a funny story, so I'm just going to tell it.
Sure.
So my dad really wanted to name me Michael, and my mom really wanted to name me Miles. So, which is a horrible name, but it's like my uncle or cousin's name or something, but you know, it's a bad name. So ironically, there is a Miles Crane, at least from the show Frasier.
That's
brother.
Right.
So that would have been really bad for me growing up.
That could have been tough. Yeah, for sure.
So they gave my mom too much anesthesia in the hospital when she was pregnant with me, and she was out for 3 days, and the hospital was insistent that my dad had to name me. And so he ended up naming me Joshua M. Mostly to piss my mother off, but he was like, well, if she's not around to have this argument
right.
about Miles versus Michael, I'm just going to give him neither of those names and then give him the initial M.
Nice.
That is a compromise, I suppose.
My mom wanted me to be Miles Joshua, and she wanted my initials to be MJ, because I guess back in the 70s, those were like power initials.
Ooh.
My mom's silly.
Michael Jackson.
So anyway, when my mom woke up, she was pissed at my dad for naming me Joshua. I didn't speak to him for weeks. It turned out okay for me. I kind of like being Joshua M.
Yeah.
And all throughout high school, people would call me Joshua M. Stands for nothing, Crane. So full name is Joshua M. Crane, and I know you were asking as a joke, and there's my answer.
That's awesome.
No, that is a good story. I appreciate
okay,
it.
Well, thanks for doing the interview. That was great.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
So when did you start vaping yourself?
It's been almost 4 years now. I lose track of the actual date, but I want to say it was, 2010-ish. Mm-hmm. I was a very heavy cigarette smoker, 2 packs a day.
Ooh.
Marlboro Red and then ultimately Marlboro Lights. And then I got sick one day and switched over to Parliaments because they were lighter. And I was a Parliament light smoker for years, total like 23 years.
Oh, wow.
I have emphysema, or at least the precursor to emphysema, COPD. And so I had just learned that, and was pretty, feeling pretty bummed about myself and feeling pretty trapped by my nicotine addiction and my addiction to cigarettes. And I was running a small web development company in Los Angeles, and in walked John Cameron, who was the CEO of SafeSig. And he said to me, I'm John Cameron, and I asked him if he was related to Kirk Cameron, which is actually kind of funny and an insult because he's James Cameron's brother, James Cameron being of like Titanic and Avatar
yeah, definitely.
So he was kind of expecting me to know who he was, and I had no idea who he was. And so now that we established that he was a celebrity, I kind of immediately said, okay, well, you must be full of yourself because I work in Hollywood and meet people like you all the time. So how can I help you? Right? I don't care who you are. What's your product? And he slid the SafeSig starter kit across the table to me and said, we want your help marketing this. We've done our research. You're the guy to help. And I was, really sort of skeptical about the whole thing, but I was wearing the patch, and I was about a week into the patch, and it was already starting to tear at my skin and make me bleed, and,
having
and it was, you know, miserable experience trying to quit. And so I opened the package and I started using it, and you know, it was good enough. It was one of the, you know, it was like, it took a little transition, and at first I didn't really love the flavor of it, you know, kind of tobacco flavored, but it was, you know, it was an eye opener for me that there was an alternative out there for me that, that, you know, could potentially be safer, could potentially help mitigate the things like tar and a lot of the carcinogens and the nitrosamines, you know, the things that actually kill you from cigarettes. And right. So, you know, I started using the product, I started marketing the product, and I spent so much time, from the agency side working on that account that ultimately John offered me a full-time job and I became the chief marketing officer of SafeSig, right up until its, untimely demise. So,
like,
you know, that was my,
it's going to be kind of like this show. We're just awaiting our untimely demise.
No, you guys are going to be around for at least two more episodes.
I like that.
But I want you guys to remember that this was the one that really turned the corner and started to send things into the shitter for you. So that was, you know, that was kind of my intro to vaping, and I really haven't looked back.
Awesome. So what is your current setup? I mean, obviously, as a vapor, I've been doing vape for, you know, about 4 months and have every little knickknack I could possibly get now. And so when somebody says, what's your typical setup, that could be, you know, change from day to day, but what is your kind of your go-to setup that you use?
Okay. So I guess I should say I'm probably the wrong guy to ask, because not only do I have a ton of these devices because I have pathological collection issues,
right.
Like don't put me in front of a Pokemon game or, I don't remember what the other one was. It was like a little gardening game on the Wii, and I had to have every leaf and flower, and, you know, so I collect things. Sneakers. So I have a lot of these devices. However, right now I'm completely in love with the new DNA 40 based devices, specifically the one from Vapor Shark, although there's a few others. This chip is, I think, revolutionary and really going to change the face of vaping. And the reason being is that it allows you to use the tanks that you're pairing with the devices in a temperature sensing mode. So instead of saying, okay, I have this many volts or this many watts, it really kind of lets me say, don't let the coil go over a very specific temperature.
Oh, okay.
And what that does is a couple of things. It guarantees you're never going to burn your cotton, right? So you're never going to get that horrible burnt hit. You know, it also makes sure that it kind of throttles the device back when you're putting too much power through the circuit. So you never get a bad hit, right? And in essence, the coil, you know, the wick will go dry. And you can just keep hitting it and hitting it and hitting it and hitting it, and you'll just get less and less vapor and less flavor, and you rejuice it, and the flavor comes right back. So these, you know, new DNA 40 devices with the temperature sensing coils are, I think, revolutionary. And now that I've started using them, and really I'm kind of staring at a bunch of, you know, my devices that I've collected over the last couple of years, sure. going, oh, well, it was really nice knowing you.
Right.
So that's my current setup is a Vapor Shark DNA 40, and I've been switching back and forth between a Derringer RDA, which is a, you know, rebuildable atomizer, or the new Subtank Mini from Kanger, which is a rebuildable tank atomizer.
Yep. I'm going to have to look into that new one, and I'm sure my wife will go, oh, great, something else you say. But, you know, that's a perfect example of, you know, in the past year and a half, the technology with vaping has just, you know, it's been tripping over itself. You know, there's always new stuff. It reminds me of cell phones. You know, as there was a time
it's
when
faster.
The
pace of innovation in vaping is mind blowing. The pace of innovation. You know, I've been in the video game industry. I've been in the tech industry. I've been in the, you know, sort of digital and marketing space. I'm used to things happening fast. You know, I'm used to Intel coming out with faster and faster CPUs and ARM, you know, doubling their processor power in their chips, you know, year after year.
Right.
I'm blown away, even with that personal experience, of how fast innovation in vaping is going. And I think it's really just fueled by the fact that it is a very fast growing market. And the more people that get into it, the more demand there is for these products. And there's absolutely an arms war going on now between, you know, the different hardware manufacturers that all sort of one up each other and try and have, you know, not just me-too products, but ones that will, you know, really kind of resonate with the audience, with vapers. And so the pace of innovation has been insane. You know, and this is really the year that we're seeing. We started with regulated devices, and people realized that they were underpowered. And so that's where the mechanical mod is really born. You know, there were variable voltage ego batteries before most of these mods were out. And, you know, and even the non-variable voltage version, you know, the original ego is still a regulated device. I mean, there's circuitry in it that allows it from, you know, going too hard, too fast, too powerful, et cetera. But we saw these mechanical mods come out because people were like, that's just not enough. Like, the power isn't enough. And so mechanicals were the sort of the, you know, the soup du jour over the last couple of years, because as long as you knew how to wrap a coil and you could, you know, use an Ohm's law calculator, then, you know, it's one of those things where anybody could figure out how to squeeze more power out of these batteries. The problem is that they're just not safe, right? I mean, they're don't get me wrong, they're safe for general use, right? But as you push the envelope in terms of tweaking the resistance of your coils down super low so you're getting the most out of that 4.2-volt battery, at a certain point, those batteries weren't designed to have that kind of drain that quickly, right? To be under that sort of load, if you will, sort of the right electrical term to use. So, you know, the mechanicals were the thing to do, but at a certain point, you know, the vapors were out there building coils that were what I would consider to be unsafe, right? Getting these things to temperatures where we know that they're burning as opposed to vaping. We know that, you know, that it's too hot to inhale. So what we've seen is this real big resurgence on the regulated devices again, because now they've got devices that are much more powerful. So whereas before, you know, your ego battery would go up to, you know, 4.8 volts and just kind of throw out those 4.8 volts no matter how, you know, no matter how your atomizer was wrapped, you know, if you crank that thing all the way up to 4.8 or even 5.0 or 5.5, that's where you're seeing those studies about formaldehyde being created.
Right.
The thing is no vapor would use that kind of unregulated voltage into an atomizer that was, you know, at a resistance like what they tested.
Right.
So these new devices go up to 100 watts, 150 watts. There's some out there that are 250, 260. I saw a 300-watt device the other day. I heard a rumor about a 400-watt device. I personally don't think you need that much power, but at least now we have devices that go to those powers, so we can go back to coils that aren't as low resistance.
Right.
And you know, and get a really satisfying vape from, you know, from by having a device that's regulated. And then along with that regulation comes electronics and circuitry that allow it to, you know, there's an overheat sensor. Even the new ones even tell you if you put the batteries in backwards or not, you know, so whereas before that, you know, that could totally damage your circuit.
Sure.
So I mean, I think this year has been all about sort of seeing the innovation on the device side. You know, REAs, rebuildable atomizers, rebuildable dripping atomizers, they've been around for a while. They get a little better and a little incrementally better, but I've seen the biggest kind of jumps in terms of the technology on the batteries and the devices themselves.
Sure. Well, let's get down to the nitty gritty. Let's talk about craftvapory.com. So chief operating officer, so that just means like you're in charge of everybody, right?
Yeah. So, it's a little more descriptive than co-founder, although I think co-founder sounds cooler.
Yeah.
You know, but you could say you're a co-founder and not have any responsibilities.
That's like, that's Jason. That's Jason, right?
Just like me, right?
Yeah, okay. Congrats, Jason. It's the best job ever.
It's not too bad.
So, you know, in essence, I'm in charge of our day-to-day operations. I'm in charge of our product mix, you know, what products we bring in and when. The procurement department, the department that actually works with all of our vendors, reports into me. The curation department, the people who decide what goes into each box, reports into me. We've got, you know, the customer service group reports to me. And then I have a partner who's the president, and he handles web operations and our creative team.
Sure.
So between us, we kind of, you know, and then our CEO, Omri, who's the other co-founder, you know, he gets to deal with you know, the really hardcore things like our budget and our P&L and our investors. And he also has a keen eye for commas, so he tends to be our final line of copywriting.
There you go. So how long has the company been in business?
We started in December of 13, so I guess we're, what, about 14 months in now? Mm. And yeah, and it's been a stellar experience and ride thus far. Definitely a little bit of a roller coaster. You know, we launched the subscription service first in October of last year. We turned on e-commerce so we could sell directly to our customers. Along the way, we started to develop our own flavors, which we send out to our customers as tester flavors. You know, we're working on a couple of other business verticals underneath the craft brand. You know, namely, we'll launch our own liquid line probably here in the next couple of months.
Awesome.
We're looking at developing our own devices, which would probably happen towards the end of this year. And then our newest business vertical is distribution, which we just launched this month. Or actually last month, we're in February now. Oh boy, the time flies. So we just launched last month where we're actually distributing about 8 or 9 brands of that we've been carrying for the subscription in the store, but now we're distributing them to other retail outlets as well.
All right. So let's kind of break it down. You know, basically when someone goes to craftvapery.com, like you said, that you have, you know, you have mods, you have tanks and the likes, but you also have the subscription. We'll talk about that first. So it's like a monthly juice box is what I call it. And what I find interesting about Craft Vapery is, you know, you have the flavors broken down into categories. And when a person decides, hey, I want to get X amount of bottles each month, and, you know, they get the yum and the yuck, they get to choose, which that was one of the things that really drew me very quickly to you guys was, I could have some say over what was coming to me. I, you know, if I wanted 4 bottles a month, I didn't want to get 3 bottles that there's no way I would use and then 1 bottle that I would like. It's kind of pointless. But you kind of put it in your customers' hands of, hey, here are the categories, and then once you give us those categories of what you like and what you don't like, then each month we will, you know, we will fine-tune that and give you, you know, these different brands. Was that one of the first ideas that you guys came up with to be different?
Okay, so here's the story, and not to be like, hey, come listen to more stories from Grandpa here, but here's the story from Grandpa Josh. So I literally used to spend my weekends going from vape shop to vape shop to vape shop with, you know, a notebook, and in essence, in that notebook, I would have Matt and his flavor profile, and Rob and his flavor profile, and Omri and his flavor profile, you know, all of my friends essentially. And I was going around shopping for them, right? They saw me as their vaping expert. I was the guy who would go and, you know, and pick out their flavors for them. And so, you know, when you get to 10, 15, 20 of these people in the notebook, you go, okay, this is a business and not a hobby anymore.
Sure.
So, you know, that notion was kind of the first notion for what we wanted to do with craft. And then my partner, Matt, who had worked on a subscription business in the past, said, hey, we should do this as a subscription business. And so we kind of brought the two ideas together. And that was, in essence, you know, we were already looking at creating the liquid line. We were already looking we were looking at potentially opening retail stores. And the subscription business was, you know, honestly the one that we could get up and running the fastest, mm-hmm. with the least amount of barriers and the least amount of capital.
Sure.
And so that's in essence how it was born. You did a pretty good job of describing it. You know, at the end of the day, there's 16 flavor categories. And when you can yum or yuck, as you mentioned, you know, any number of those, it ends up giving us, you know, a lot of data points about each individual customer that we can then turn into a flavor profile.
It's such an easy website to navigate.
You can leave notes for your curator, and you know, and you can give us feedback in terms of which bottles you liked or didn't like each month. That all goes into this additive process of developing what your flavor profile is. And so you start with a flavor profile, and it adapts itself over time the more feedback you give us. Mm-hmm. And that gives my curators a lot of information about you to be able to go and pick the best of the best for you specifically. So, you know, even if you two had exactly the same flavor profile, you may not get the same box. It's not like there's a, you know, there's a prototype of that flavor profile, and everybody that matches that prototype gets, you know, gets the same box every month.
Sure.
It's truly a customized service for each individual user.
It's just like an ongoing algorithm that you guys use to keep track of every individual that uses the subscription.
Well, yes and no. There are algorithms and computers that go into, you know, how we determine, you know, what we have in stock and what's not a match for customers. But at the end of the day, it's an actual human that does the picking and the choosing. And they're, you know, we depend on them to be experts and know all of these flavors in and out and know the little nuances of them, so that when they look at your flavor profile and they look at what you've had historically, they're making a really accurate match, not just based on what's an algorithm, you know, showed them, but based on what they see in your profile and what you've told them in your profile. So it really is customized to each customer.
And to bring that, I was going to save this for later, but so Meriwether is my little vape expert, right? Then,
well,
you know.
that means that, well, yes, Meriwether is your curator. Meriwether will probably continue to be your curator. There are multiple curators. Customers don't stay with a curator. It's not like once you have Meriwether, you always have Meriwether. Now Meriwether runs that department.
Sure.
And you're obviously very important to us, and so Meriwether curated your box personally. But there are several people in that department, and there are several people who do the curation, and they all do a fantastic job.
Sure.
So, and they all share notes, right? So the notes are in the system, and you know, it's pretty easy for one curator to pick up where the other one left off. But I don't like to, you know, people get very excited that, you know, Katie was their curator or Jake was their curator. You know, I don't want to ever promise to someone like, oh, you're always going to be with Jake, because, you know, the busier we get and the more people that we bring in, we tend to kind of balance the load and shift people around. And, you know, as we bring on more and more curators, you know, it doesn't make sense to just have the new person only get the new customers.
Absolutely.
Well, we just assumed that Meriwether had a thing for us because she puts XOXOXOs on our notes. So I will say
that she does put a certain number of XOXO on everyone's notes, but that you got three
would indicate to me that
she really likes you.
Yeah, I just, you know, as you're working with you guys, I just wanted to let you know that
I'm totally cutting you off, Blake.
That's okay.
We did once get someone who called up and said, my girlfriend's really pissed about this. And Meriwether was like, but I love my customers.
Where do you draw the line, Josh?
And, well, for him, we included a note for his girlfriend the next time.
Nice.
And that right there speaks to the personal touch. So that's excellent. That's excellent customer
service.
Yeah,
we like the personal touch. You know, I mean, the handwritten letters was something that we wanted people to know that this was personalized for them. We wanted them to feel like, you know, that it was more than just an algorithm and it's not a machine, you know, doing all of this. It's huge.
Right.
So we wanted people to know that. And the handwritten note was sort of our way of, you know, letting people know without beating them over the head that, like, hey, no, we're real people, real vapors.
Yeah,
we're doing it for you.
It worked for me because I instantly thought, after the second letter, I thought that Meriwether wanted to marry me. I was like, I'm in with this girl. You know,
I wish I could say that was true for you.
Nah.
Meriwether's amazing in that everyone that knows Meriwether kind of feels that way, and she makes everyone feel loved.
That's a good hire right there.
So, and because she also deals with all of our vendors, she has a very interesting sort of quasi-love affair with several people in the vape industry. And, of course, you know, she's got a very happy and stable home life with her boyfriend and all the rest. But there's several people in the industry that would love to steal Meriwether from us. Would
Sounds
love
like
to marry
it.
Meriwether. I was actually offered cash for her the other day.
That doesn't seem like it's...
What are you guys doing out there in California?
Well, I didn't accept. And she was very...
Oh, okay, all right.
You know, the next day at work, she was like, oh, thanks for selling me last night. And I was like, well, I didn't accept the offer.
Right.
And I did apologize on their behalf. But, you know, I mean, it's an industry dominated full of guys. You get a pretty smart, you know, woman like Meriwether in the mix. And I could see why everyone, you know, falls in love with her. I personally... You know, she's like a little sister to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not trying to acquire her through cash.
Even if they would have thrown in a goat, like, you know, like they used to do in the old days, you know.
Well, I mean, you know,
It's hard to It's hard to find a good goat nowadays.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had a goat. I mean, it makes me think lots of different things. But no, you know, we have a very great professional relationship,
sure.
She and I, and you know, in a lot of ways, she's learning to become me someday, and so we're very tight, we're very close. You know, we've got
sure.
a great relationship, but no, I would never do anything to tarnish that in any way.
And for me, it was
makes me like her big brother / protector
right.
in the vape industry, because she is a very pretty
sure.
girl, and a lot of the guys in our industry don't get out much, so the combo gets to be a little overwhelming for her.
It was my way of showing the example and leading into the whole, you know, the personal touch of craft vapery.
Right.
I wasn't actually going to offer you any money.
Just a goat.
Right.
Which is totally shit.
I think we're talking.
I'll let her know that someone's up the ante with farm
right. There you go.
We were talking about subscriptions.
She did used to raise horses, so she may get excited about
it. We can find a happy medium there. You were talking earlier about your subscriptions, and I tell you, this is a podcast. Blake and I listen to podcasts all the time. A lot of sponsors out there are like a monthly subscription. You got the Shave Club, Stamps.com, BarkBox is out there. Just about everything under the sun you can do a subscription for. So why not vape? If you are doing it on the regular, it just makes sense to do it. It's one thing you can just check off the list. Is this something that you guys kind of revolutionized? Is this something that was existing, or is this a market that you created, the subscription service?
Okay.
For vaping?
Yet again, come on over, let Grandpa Josh tell you a story. we thought we were the first. We thought we were going to be the first. And in hindsight, that was a really stupid idea. Not the idea itself, but that we were going to be the first and that we were the only ones to have this idea. It's a mm-hmm. great idea. Ideas are, you know, a dime a dozen. It's about execution.
Right.
So one of our competitors launched 3 weeks before we did.
Mm.
Now, if you know anything about developing websites and all the rest, obviously we were working on this for quite a long time before it went live. Who started first? I have no idea. Who launched first? Not us. We came 2 weeks later. However, we were the first to be curated. We were the first to be personalized. And we're the only one, in my opinion, that's really focused on premium, right? It's not like there's a ton of these services. There are a few of them out there. And I'm not here to naysay them or decry them. You know, I think that
sure.
to a certain extent, they all have a place in the market. A lot of them are about samples and getting samples cheaply. Craft doesn't do that, right? First off, I don't believe in selling samples, even at a discounted rate. I think sampling should be sampling. The FDA thinks otherwise. They think samples should be sold and no nicotine should be given away for free. And we'll see what they have to say about that, you know, over time.
Sure.
But you know, most of the other services are about getting samples. They're about getting them in sample sizes, you know, 5 to 10 milligrams. And they're really about kind of cramming in value in terms of the amount of milligrams, you know, dollars per milligram, or milligrams per dollar that, you know, that you're getting. So there are competitors out there that are like 100 milligrams for $35 or something like that. Craft is not at all... Sorry, not milligrams, milliliters. So Craft is not at all a sample service, right? We sell full 15-mil bottles. They're all curated and personalized just to you. And they are from the most premium vendors that are out there, right? And we have this extensive vetting process where we test every juice that comes in. We test it in drippers. We test it in tanks. We taste them as a panel. We rate and rank each of them. Then we group the ones that have the best ratings into their flavor categories, and we rank and rate them again. And so we may have 25 baked goods, but we're going to try and boil that down to one or two that we bring in. And so there's a lot of juice that we try that, you know, just doesn't make the cut. And it's not that it's not great juice. It's just that there was something else that we were trying at that time that's better.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of what we do is, you know, to sort of differentiate ourselves, which is the second half of the question there, is about making sure that it's absolutely personalized, absolutely done by humans. You know, it's not being picked by a big fulfillment warehouse. We do everything in-house. We pick every box in-house. It all gets shipped out from here. All the letters are written from here, et cetera. It's 100% focused on premium. we've got a much larger selection in terms of the number of flavors and the number of brands than any of the other subscription services, or for that matter, any of the other e-commerce sites that are out there in vaping. So we've got 104 brands total on the juice side, and across that, you know, 400 plus flavors. And then on the hardware side, we've got another 150 or so, you know, SKUs for sale. So the breadth of selection is pretty massive. And then we're stamping our seal of approval on every bottle that we send out, saying that, you know, if you want lemon cheesecake, this is the one. And maybe we have three lemon cheesecakes total, but we're not going to bring in all 50 that are out there in the market.
Right,
we're going to bring in the three that we think are the absolute best. And that's kind of how we differentiate ourselves.
Well, I had also a question, too. You had mentioned earlier when you were first starting, how did you want to approach it? And you obviously and probably wisely went with the subscription service first, but in the mix was the brick and mortar. Is that down the line? Do you guys see yourselves as having a physical storefront?
Honestly, I don't. So we've been growing faster than really any of us anticipated, which is, you know, great problem to have. So we've had to successively move locations. We had always, once we scrapped the idea of doing a retail store, and quite frankly, here in Southern California, there's a ton of these retail stores. As a matter of fact, there's some consolidation now. There's stores going out of business. There's too many of them.
Right. There's definitely
so,
too many.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be a prudent business decision to say, let's open a store.
Right.
I still think that we need some sort of public-facing showroom. So when we finally do get to a location that is permanent for us, we're in a temporary home right now, and we're looking to probably move here in the next couple of months to something that's more permanent that will be large enough for us to grow into, you know, over the next several years. In once we have that kind of home, we'll make a showroom. So if people want to stop by, they can.
That makes sense.
And
yeah.
They can stop by without standing in the middle of, you know, our 20,000 plus bottle inventory. And sometimes it's not ideal to have your customers sitting in the middle of your fulfillment warehouse.
Right.
So we'll make a nice little showroom where, you know, we've got our products on display. People can come in and try products. They can come in and buy hardware. We do get walk-ins. You know, we're kind of right in the middle of Beverly Hills, and we don't make a secret of where we are. The address is on the website. So people just stop in, and, you know, I think sometimes they're surprised at what they see, and sometimes they're shocked. I think people expect us to be more of a retail store, and we're not. We're very much sort of a warehouse and fulfillment operation, mixed with a marketing company, because we're out promoting ourselves, you know, creating content to promote ourselves. So a big chunk of our floor plan goes to making content, and the rest of it goes to packing boxes and storing bottles.
Yes.
So, you know, I think those that expected to walk into a warehouse do, which they didn't expect the warehouse to be in the middle of Beverly Hills.
Right.
And, you know, and those that were expecting a retail store are like, whoa, this is totally different. And when someone comes in, we're like, I literally bring them to my office. And I say, okay, what are you looking for? And if they're looking for juice, you know, I go grab them some juice, or I have Meriwether grab them some juice. And if they're looking for hardware, I actually keep that in my office. It's expensive stuff, and I don't want it to walk away. And
right.
So, you know, we don't make, I don't like to pretend that we're someone that we aren't.
Sure.
Know? So we're set up to do the business of craft, not necessarily set up to handle walk-ins up the street, but we certainly don't, you know, I would never send anyone away.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, we're in Central Illinois, and there are, every corner is a vape shop anymore. And I think this is a first big wave in the past 2 years, I think, over in the Midwest here, and you're going to see places dropping like flies. Like you said, out there, the business is not that old, and people are already closing up shop. And to have a physical storefront is to take probably an unnecessary gamble for you guys, especially since you're doing so well. But to have a showroom like you're talking about, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's a good...
Well, there's a lot of capital that goes into a physical store, right?
Absolutely.
You have to not only stock it, which is expensive, but you also have to build it out, right? You need counters, and you got to make your walls look pretty, and you need art, you need point of sale, you know, registers, and there's a lot that goes into, you know, capital,
like
the money that you have to spend to open up a retail location, and then the competition, you know, you say they're on every corner where you are. I'm sure you can only imagine, you know, Southern California kind of being the home of vaping, and
absolutely,
you know, the largest concentration of vaping companies. They are, it's ridiculous how close they are to each other.
Well, on an average month,
how many different vape lines are sending you guys stuff that, I mean, you have to be like over, just, you must have just stacks of them that you have, like you said, you have a rigorous testing process, but in the meantime, while you're testing some, I mean, you got to be getting endless amounts because that's, you know, everybody's doing a juice.
Okay, so we just picked new flavors for this month, and there are still 120 let's say 120 to be a nice round number, 120 brands that are still in the queue that we just didn't get a chance to try.
Wow.
And we probably get, you know, 50, 60 submissions a month.
Yeah.
Depends. You know, some months there's more, some months there's less. I think the word has kind of gotten out that it's hard to get into craft, so people are getting more creative and not, instead of just sending us their samples.
Sure.
Trying to be elitist to the industry. We just know that there's only so much we can do, you know.
And maintain quality, too.
Sure.
Yeah. Some months I bring in 10 brands, some months I bring in 2.
Yeah.
It kind of just depends on, you know, it depends on what we need, how many new customers we have, and where their flavor profiles are and where they're different from other flavor profiles. You know, we're constantly looking at who the customer base is and then trying to pick stuff that's going to, you know, that's going to work for the largest number of customers,
sure.
Right? I mean, I may love, like yesterday I tried a pound cake flavor and it's amazing. It's a pound cake with lemon, right? But if I really think about the lemon, I don't have as many citrus lovers as I have baked good lovers.
Right. Mm.
And so I have to think about that in terms of how viable that flavor is for our customers, right? I got a lot of people who like baked goods. It's our number one most popular flavor category.
I know when I went to your site, I definitely clicked yum on the baked goods.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's on my flavor profile, it's like the number one category for me.
Right.
And so, you know, we have flavors that you have to think about, not just the primary category, but the secondary and the tertiary category, and then what shape it represents in terms of where it hits your palate. We group all of our flavors into different shapes. There's a dome, which is kind of the more sweet, and you kind of taste it all across the top of the mouth. There's the sharp, you know, we call them the triangle, which is more of the tart stuff. And then there's trapezoid, which is sort of all the stuff in between the savory. And all right. So we break everything not only into 3 different, you know, primary, secondary, and tertiary flavor categories. Then we give it a shape. So that there's a lot of data on the back end as, in terms of, you know, what is a flavor and what does that flavor really represent? And then we've got to match that up to our customers. So, you know, it really just depends on what we try, what we love, how good of a mood we're in that day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I noticed that when we're trying flavors, if anyone on the panel is in a bad mood, it just sours the whole thing. So we kind of, we do like team building, you know, trust falls and crap to get everyone kind of, you know, happy about doing what they're doing. You're trying 100 flavors in 2 or 3 days is a daunting task.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, you have to be prepared to get a little nicotine overdose. You've got, you know, we on the drippers, we change the cotton between every flavor. You know, the ones that make the cut go into tanks, and we need to load up tanks, whatever. You know, there's a lot of labor involved, and, you know, so it really just kind of, and then we have to look at, you know, how did we do last month, right? Sure. Are we out of inventory? Do we have too much inventory, right? So there's a lot of things that go into what comes in and when. You know, and also we like to, there's flavors that we feel like are so good, we want to break them to the world. And then there's flavors that we feel like are good, and we kind of want to wait to see what the, you know, what other vapors have to say about them.
Sure.
So we have short lists every month. You're like, okay, these are definite. I'm going to put this one on a short list. I'm going to see, right? It starts to get a lot of Instagram love, and, you know, the deep influencers that are out there on social media start to really give it some love. We start, okay, maybe this, you know, maybe we should give that another taste. There's something there people are really seeming to dig.
Sure.
We're not always right. You know, we've had a couple of flavors that we've put out we thought were amazing, and the customers, you know, the sentiment's like, not so much. Right.
Right.
That's unfortunate in those cases because we like those people.
Sure.
We stop carrying the flavors.
Sure. Well, Josh, I mean, this is a wealth of knowledge, but the main thing is people need to go to craftvapery.com because, A, you know, like you've described, there is a lot of time and effort put in. They're not just throwing bottles in a box and shipping it to Joe Schmo. I mean, there's not only a science to it, but there's also
the human element,
which is the most important element. And like I said, when a box comes to you, it has the best padding. The box I got last week had a big hole in it, and I was like, I'm not worried about, because the mailman doesn't give a damn. He just throws it all over anywhere. But
wait, we sent you a box with a hole in it?
It had a hole in the top, but it wasn't from you guys. It was somebody had, the post office guy.
Someone tried to steal your vape.
Yeah, probably. But what I like about it is the padding in there. I know that I'm not going to get a broken glass or nothing. It's good. I'm going to get that letter from Meriwether. I'm going to get some juices that I want to try, that I'm going to enjoy. That's in my realm of what I want. And my stepson gets a thing of M&Ms. Everybody's happy.
I hear so many people telling me they give them to their kids. I love it. I eat them, right? Like, I actually, they banned me from the room where they're stored, because I will just walk in there and eat them. And I will tell you confidentially, even though all of your listeners are listening, that it's the most expensive bag of M&Ms you'll ever see.
Oh, I bet.
Right? It's not cheap to put your logo on an individual M&M and, all the rest. But so I'll just walk in and eat them, and my partners scream at me. They're like, oh, my God, go next door to the liquor store. Like, get a bag of M&M. You did leave a couple things out of the box, though, so I'm just going to go ahead and plug those shamelessly now. You also get a trading card for every flavor that you receive, and that explains PG-VG ratio, the flavor categories that it's a part of, and a description of the flavor. There's also a drafted on date. A lot of people get that confused. They think it's when the bottle was made. It's actually the date that we added them to craft. Mm. So think of it like a baseball team, and when we drafted that player, that's the intention there. We put their hometown on there. A lot of those end up being Los Angeles or Orange County or, something like that. But, we do source juice from all over the world. We've got juice from France. We've got juice from Italy. Sometimes the hometowns get a little creative. And also, if there's ever a bottle that doesn't come with either a dripper top or a dripper in the bottle, we do include transfer bottles, one-to-one. So if there's two bottles that don't have drippers, you're going to get two transfer bottles. We always like to make sure that it's actually easy to get it out of the bottle and onto your mod.
Yes, definitely.
And then of course you get the handwritten notes, and then we do from time to time throw just kind of fun gifts in there. So we did some juice cloths a couple months back, which are these nice little microfiber cloths for when things get a little sticky. And anyone that's been vaping, on rebuildables knows that they get sticky.
Yes.
And then last summer we did sunglasses that were craft branded, and we're kind of always looking for, nice little things that we can throw in that adds a little bit of value to the box and, lets people know that we're there for them. We care about them and we actually listen to, their requests.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
And you guys got our package with the koozies and stickers?
I did, actually. I have one on my desk right now.
See, look at that.
I want to somehow figure out a way to get how to get a vape into that guy's, gas mask.
Yeah.
my wife was interested why it said pissing on corporate Nashville since 2007. Then I explained to her that IBWIP stands for it burns when I pee.
There you go.
And she looked at me and said, I'm not sure really what you do at work all day, but I'm glad that the mortgage is good. Thank you very much for the gift.
Awesome.
We really appreciate that.
Well, right now, you guys still have the promo, the IBWIP promo code, that if folks go to craftvapery.com, they can get 10% off the store, the e-commerce. But then they can also get, using that code, they can get 20% off the first month subscription. Is that correct still?
That's correct. And yes. I hope all of your listeners take us up on that offer.
Definitely.
That is twice as large of a discount as what we offer on our own website or to, our Instagram or Facebook followers. And, we do that special for you guys. I want everyone out there that is a smoker to stop.
Yes.
And start vaping. I want everyone out there that likes snacking to try vaping instead. I think vaping is very much a part of our future, and I want people to embrace it and understand it and understand, the positive and the negative about it, and not, not listen to the fear mongering that goes on in the media about vaping, and to try it for themselves and really see how it is, you know, absolutely a wonderful alternative to what is a, you know, a very deadly product,
definitely.
E-cigarettes.
Well, Josh, thank you very much. I appreciate your guys' partnership for a while, and it's really helped me out, and I really enjoy craftvapery.com. I'm going to continue to use it even if our partnership ends, just because it's quality stuff and it's done the right way. And it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And tell Meriwether we're gonna air freight some goats out there, and me and you are gonna do some wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, as soon as we're off the phone, I'm gonna let her know that I've potentially sold her for one or more goats,
and all of a sudden she
will see how much more work I get out of her.
Right, and then she'll stop following me on Instagram, block me, and all that good stuff. So
no, she's sassy enough that she may just go start posting goats on Instagram and tagging you in. So
I think
she's tough. She can hold her own.
I think that's going to be the show art for this episode, is just a goat with a Craft Vapery t-shirt on.
If you can make that happen, I would like that. I will share that on social media as well.
Awesome. Josh, it was a pleasure talking to you, and we'll stay in touch. Yeah. And thanks again. It's craftvapery.com.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.